Marty Upper is the CEO of Te Whatu Ora in New Zealand, and we can understand that life's been a little bit rugged along the way for her and others working in the health sector. Welcome once again to Ahine, tēnā koe.
Oh, tēnā koe, ngā mihinu ki a koe, Dale, and a very warm greetings to all your listeners.
Thanks very much. It's been a bit of a hectic time, sis. What's been going on in your end? Making your head spin?
Well, there's never a dull day in health, I have to say, Dale. And so I think we are you know, year two of Te Whatu Ora. We're, you know, by kind of, you know, 22 months, we're sort of at toddler stage. But I do just want to acknowledge that over this, you know, our first year when we started, we had major workforce shortages on top of recovery from COVID and weather events. And so a huge shout out to all of our frontline staff who do a fantastic job for New Zealanders. And we've worked quite hard in our early time to try to build that workforce to address those clinical shortages. Many of the initiatives that we've been doing over the last 18 months have actually started to show that, you know, some benefit. We are seeing some really great recruitment where we've recruited, as at the end of December, over 2,400 extra nurses. We're seeing a bit of improvement in recruiting and doctors. Not enough. We still need more. And our vacancies are starting to reduce at Allied Health. So it's taken a while, but we are starting to see some great staffing in many areas.
Well, that's on the upside. Obviously, Māori's still reeling with the axing of Te Whatu, of the Māori Health Authority. But even so, we have to move forward. Can't change the political landscape, can we?
Well, no, it's our job as a Crown entity to serve the government of the day. But we have been able to transition our Te Aka Whai Ora colleagues. So we've formed a whole other Māori services group, which I'm really grateful Leanne Emanuel, who was the CEO, has agreed to stay on to support our teams in the transition to December. And, you know, while our structure's changed, the mahi that hasn't changed, and it's still really important the work that the team are doing to support the establishment of iwi Māori partnership boards. The team are working on commissioning to support Māori providers, and an important new task I've asked them to do is help us put together a national Hawara Māori Health Improvement Plan, which is a working title, but it's a plan that will bring together all the actions that we're doing across the whole of Te Whatu Ora and the health system to improve Māori health.
That's interesting. Has that not been done before?
Not as Te Whatu Ora, because, of course, when Te Aka Whai Ora was an entity in its own right, we took our guidance and advice from Te Aka Whai Ora. Te Whatu Ora has a whole range of programs and initiatives to improve Māori health, but certainly the leadership we deferred to was in Te Aka Whai Ora. And so it's right and fitting that. And then as we head into our sort of establishment and transition and into the new Health New Zealand plan over the next 3 years, we need a whole other Māori Health Improvement Plan that will be very precise and specific about the actions that we're taking to improve Māori health. It's really important now that iwi Māori Partnership Boards are formed. They are a key part of working with us on developing that, particularly ensuring that at a regional level they are seeing the actions and that the services improve for Māori.
Let's talk about some of the issues on the table for Te Whatu Ora. There's a crackdown on overtime and leave balances. You might flesh that out for our listeners, please. And
Look, what we've asked managers and leaders to do is that now that we are seeing staffing improve across a whole number of areas, so you know by now we will have over an extra 2,500 nurses recruited. We do expect to see that in post-COVID times, when we were really short-staffed, we did, and as you'd expect, we needed to fund a whole lot of overtime or people coming back to do extra shifts to cover services particularly in hospitals. And so now that we are seeing staffing improve in a whole number of areas, we're reminding managers and leaders to go back to just checking whether they really do need as much. We do expect over time in a lot of areas to come down because they're staffed. And also be cautious about how we bring in, for example, locums, we call them, or temporary staff, where we would expect services to be actually well-resourced. Now, we know that there are services that are still needing to recruit to, so we know we've got a shortage in areas like mental health, ED, critical care, and they are areas where it takes a while for us to find those specialists skills and expertise to support those services. But that's really all we're asking leaders to do. It's normal operational management. And it's a reminder because we, as I've said, we have seen an improvement in permanent staffing being hired. And so we'd expect that managers are using those resources to the best of their ability.
Tēnā koe, I see that about 2,500 resident doctors are going on strike as training specialists in areas that had a big shortage of senior doctors, including psychiatry, radiation, oncology, public health, and GPs, where the cuts has been proposed for trainee general practitioners. What can you share with us about that?
Well, that's untrue. We have not cut doctors or services, and we're not cutting pay. We are in the process of negotiation and bargaining with junior doctors that belong to the RDA union. So we do take issue with some of the messaging that they've put out, which is just not true. Junior doctors should not, won't be seeing a pay cut with the offer that we've put on the table. But we are in negotiation with those, with that union in particular on service. So I'd prefer that we discuss that in that proper setting. But certainly we're not hiring. We are still looking for, and there are, as with nurses and services, there are, as you've said, a number of areas where we are working hard to try to find senior doctors. Psychiatry is an area you quoted. We know we've got shortages in New Zealand in some of those specialties. So we are still, our international campaigns where we can't find them in New Zealand are still looking for and targeting senior doctors to recruit, as well as junior doctors, because we need more of them in the country as well.
Just as a perhaps a note of reassurance to Ngāi Māori, we have an expectation, and I hope that you believe it is justified, that those who are working in our health sector have cultural competency, understand that there are differences in the way you might work with different ethnic groups and people to maintain their integrity, their mana. What would you say about the training and the cultural competency of many who are just arriving into our health workforce, Marty?
Well, that's a really good question, and our community have a right to expect that the people who serve them are competent to not just look after them and their healthcare needs, but also be a culturally competent health worker. And we know that people who train in New Zealand, many of our training institutions, tertiary institutions, have very good cultural competencies and built into their training program. Where people are coming from overseas, there are a number of things that we do. So certainly when we are talking to people who are interested in coming, we do provide a lot of information to help upskill them or inform them about what we expect of people who come and work to New Zealand, particularly informing them about how important Te Tiriti, how important Māori Health Improvement is for us and the part they play. Some of our induction modules that we offer online, if they're not in-country, encourage people to take them up, and that's a bit of extra learning. Some colleges or professional bodies also offer their members, when they come into the country, induction programs or learning about our expectations in New Zealand. Certainly within services, we offer all hospitals are still offering induction programs that, and particularly at a local hospital level, many hospitals still have induction programs that include exposure to the local iwi, who are often, go through a whole process of support them through pōwhiri to help them understand their relationships with local iwi hapu. So there's a whole lot of actions. Now, we know that some people might miss or avoid that, but we certainly try to catch and encourage that right throughout the whole journey of recruitment and appointment and then induction.